What is up, everybody? Nick Scripp here, live on the Fantrax Twitter and YouTube channel. We are talking seven fantasy football spotlights on today's podcast, heading into the 2023 NFL season. Should be a very to-the-point show covering some good things here. So if you are tuning in, make sure you stick with me here. Okay, let's get into it, talking seven different players, spotlighting them for the 2023 season. Let's kick things off today with Saquon Barkley. I dropped a video earlier. He reached a deal with the Giants. He has some incentives there. That's a bit reassuring because I know a lot of people have tossed around the Lev Bell idea that he holds out. But in 2022, Saquon Barkley, for the first time since that rookie season, had a near full season. And it was a bounce back. He had career highs in rushing attempts with 295 and rushing yards with 1,312. His 57 catches ranked seventh for the position. He was number five via Player Profiler in yards created. He had double-digit touchdowns, 17.8 fantasy points per game, ranked fifth for the position. This is a guy we've seen through time in 2019, average 18.8 points per game, and in his rookie season, 24 points per game. That year, he caught 91 passes. So that just displays what he brings, what he has in the bag. That dual threat can get you 1,000 yards, can catch 50-plus passes sort of skill set. It was a frustrating offseason for him, but reaching this deal, I think, was big. This is a, again, do-it-all dynamic talent who, if we look at the running back room there in New York with the Giants, doesn't have a ton of competition. I think it's Matt Breida. And then a bunch of other guys. I think Eric Gray is a guy that has drawn a little bit of interest just as a potential handcuff. But Brian Daboll had a good impact on this offense year one. They went to the playoffs. They went to two rounds of the playoffs. We had the Saquon Barkley bounce back. Daniel Jones had a career season. They added some pieces to this offense. So I think there's a lot of positives that we see here for Saquon Barkley. And when we are looking for a guy that's going to touch the ball at a high rate, have a majority of the opportunity. I think he was number two in snap share, number three in opportunity share in 2022. This is one of the few workhorses in the NFL. I mean, we can look at some question marks for some other guys that I mentioned in the video earlier. You know, Christian McCaffrey, what's that split going to be like between him and Elijah Mitchell on the ground? Austin Eckler, now that we have Keenan Allen and Mike Williams healthy, and they added Quentin Johnson in the first round, is his pass-catching ceiling going to shrink a little bit? I mean, I think you can just go down the list. Bijan Robinson, rookie running back in a probably poor offense. How does that translate? Does Algier cut in? You know, I have a lot of faith in these guys I just mentioned, but I feel like I have less question marks for Saquon Barkley, who we've seen have that massive 24 points per game season that rookie year, and he's coming off of a great year. So Saquon Barkley, I had it as a hot take, kind of. I mean, it's not like we're, you know, I'm projecting a guy that most see as the running back 12 to be the running back one. But as of today, he's my running back one heading into the 2023 season. Next guy on my list to spotlight, and I'm going to sound like a homer being from Chicago, but I have to talk about Justin Fields. Number seven in red zone completion percentage last year, 62.2%. Number one in rushing yards, 1,143. Huge year on the ground. He was number two in rushing touchdowns with eight. He was the quarterback six overall, number five in fantasy points per game with 20.5. He had five top five finishes and two number one finishes for the position in fantasy. If we look specifically weeks 6 through 18, though, when the playbook looked very Fields focused, he actually averaged 24.8 points per game. Huge. The biggest knock, I think, on this offense and Justin Fields was the lack of passing. But what people don't credit, you know, in his case for is the 8-1 score games. He had a terrible wide receiver core. I believe it was like Dante Pettis and Equanimeous St. Brown were the only guys that played 12-plus games in that wide receiver room. They had guys banged up. The offensive line was bad. This eventually earned them the first overall pick, which obviously they traded for DJ Moore plus in that deal. But there were some asterisks next to why they did not pass the ball. He was actually a good prospect coming out of Ohio State. If you look at his passing numbers, I have faith in him pushing the ball through the air. And if we look at 2023 specifically, they get him an alpha wide receiver in DJ Moore. Darnell Mooney and Chase Claypool should enter the season, hopefully healthy, along with Cole Kmet, who's been progressing in his career. There's a running back committee that's going on, Foreman, Roschon Johnson, Khalil Herbert. I think that just kind of adds to maybe a little bit more of a dynamic backfield in some sense. I often noted Mike Clay from ESPN ranking their offensive line number 13. I think it was back in May following the offseason improvements. So again, just do the math here. High upside fantasy quarterback, added protection, added weapons. Justin Fields has quarterback one overall, the quarterback one potential in 2023. And if you don't want to pay the premium for Jalen Hurts and Patrick Mahomes and Josh Allen, this is a guy that I would be targeting. Next on my list, and I'm sure I've talked about some of these guys a handful of times, but I want to talk about Nick Chubb because I've been very, very in on Nick Chubb, and it seems like the community is doing the same lately. I mean, he is the epitome of rushing efficiency. He's never averaged under 5 yards per carry in a season. 4 out of 5 seasons played, he's been over 1,000 yards rushing. He's been a top three running back in rushing yards in 3 out of 5 seasons, as well as a top three running back and evaded tackles in 3 out of 5 of those seasons. So 4 straight seasons finishing as a top 10 running back for fantasy. That, again, screams efficiency. If we look at the offensive line heading into 2023, I think it's a top 3 offensive line. Deshaun Watson will have his first full season as a Browns quarterback, and there's been a lot of camp rumblings that this offense is going to shift into throwing the ball more, which you would expect from Deshaun Watson, who's been an elite quarterback in the past. So I think this is good for Nick Chubb because I think most of his career, everybody's focus defensively was on stopping the run game in Cleveland, stopping Nick Chubb. Now, if you have a more balanced offense, he could be even more efficient. He could be in even more scoring positions. And with Kareem Hunt gone, the hope is we can finally see Chubb being involved in the passing game. And I just saw a clip the other day of him catching a ball, running like a quick little route, catching a pass. And, you know, it gets you excited because that's not something we've seen consistently through his career. There's a lack of competition in the backfield. I'm sorry for everybody that thinks Jerome Ford's going to be this big thing. I think it just gives him a chance to have even higher of a ceiling, again, with a more balanced offense, potential to be involved in the passing game, potential to not have everybody's eyes on him all the time, potential to be in more scoring positions. I think Nick Chubb has major, major upside for 2023. Jaylen Waddle, not a guy I've talked about a whole ton of, but I think he deserves to be mentioned a little bit more. I think if we look across the league to wide receiver twos, so the wide receiver two on a specific roster, I think he might be the best one if we really want to look at the upside that Jaylen Waddle brings. He took a leap in receiving yards, 1,356 after 1,015 that rookie season, and total touchdowns, 8 from 6. So we see a progression there. Waddle's 15.2 fantasy points per game. That was slightly less than the 15.4 the year prior, but pretty consistent being a great option for fantasy. It's top 12 in points per game for back-to-back seasons there. Back-to-back seasons, top 10 in air yards. Top 10 in yards after the catch. That shows playmaking ability. In 2022, Waddle finished number 1 in yards per target with 11.7 and yards per reception with 18.1. That shows high efficiency tied to that receiving yard upside. Waddle's fantasy hit was when Tua Tagovailoa was not playing in full games. It was significant that, you know, Jaylen Waddle with Tua was much better for fantasy than without him. And I think that the connection between those two has been evident the last 2 years. Back-to-back seasons, over 1,000 yards receiving, averaging 15-ish fantasy points per game. Tua's accuracy and efficiency metrics has paired very well with Waddle. And despite Tyreek Hill's impacts on Waddle's target share, the sophomore was great for fantasy in 2022. Should Waddle's targets go up, he could be a sneaky candidate to be a top 5 wide receiver in receiving yards. And in general, I think that he can bring that sort of upside for fantasy. I think that 2023 could be the case that he sees double-digit touchdowns potentially. All right, Amon-Ra St. Brown drawing tons of hype today. I saw the storyline. I just took a picture and I tweeted out. Let's see what it says here. Going a little off topic here. It said, Amon-Ra St. Brown, this is from NFL Rookie Watch. It says, Amon-Ra St. Brown had himself a day at the Lions training camp. Brown caught 6 touchdowns within 10 red zone snaps with the first team offense. After practice, Brown went to the jugs machine and dropped his first ball. Brown then proceeded to catch the next 201 balls in a row and did 20 push-ups to make up for that drop. And to think there were 16 wide receivers taken ahead of him in the draft. That just shows, I think, the commitment to the game. I think that he is a guy that has often had a chip on his shoulder. He's like verbalized this multiple times. He was heavily debated after that rookie season when he had that big explosion. He scored the second most fantasy total fantasy points for the wide receiver position weeks 13 through 18. He averaged 25.2 points per game. Year two, he upped all stats, earning 146 targets, which was ranked eighth, 106 receptions, which was ranked fifth, 1,161 receiving yards. That was 10th best for the wide receiver position. And he was amazing after the catch. He ranked fourth for the position there. The 16.7 fantasy points per game was top 10 for the position, and I think he answered a lot of doubters this past season. So if we look forward now to 2023, I think he can take even more steps forward. Jameson Williams is suspended for 6 games. Detroit has a rookie tight end in Sam Laporta, a rookie pass-catching running back in Jahmyr Gibbs, and then a handful of just guys to throw the ball to. So I think seeing the connection, Jared Goff to Amon-Ra St. Brown, I think that he is going to be the focal point of this offense, even if they are adding and shaping this offense to be a little bit more dynamic. When looking at, you know, the upside and the consistency and target volume and yards after the catch ability, I think there is a chance that Amon-Ra St. Brown is a dark horse candidate to finish as the wide receiver one if we want to throw hot takes out there for 2023. CeeDee Lamb's another guy that I've covered recently in a video, but he's improved every season in targets, receptions, receiving yards, receiving touchdowns, and fantasy points per game. 2022 was his true breakout season. He averaged 17.7 points per game, which ranked seventh for the position. Lamb was top five in targets with 156, receptions with 107, and total touchdowns with 9. These numbers came with Dak Prescott only playing in 12 games. So that was impressive seeing him do that last season with his quarterback not playing the full season. CeeDee Lamb, across his 32 games with Dak Prescott via StatMuse, has had 178 receptions, 2,402 receiving yards, and 15 touchdowns. That's solid. Dak averaged 37.3 passing attempts in his last full season, 2021. That shows the volume there in Dallas. He has 2 seasons over 4,400 passing yards, and he is a candidate to throw for over 4,000 in 2023. Brandon Cooks comes in. I think that's a good veteran presence to draw attention away at times from CeeDee Lamb. I think that actually helps him versus like a bunch of average guys running routes. I know Michael Gallup is finally healthy. I think that trio is going to be pretty solid, but Lamb is the alpha. He still should have that high target share, display the receiving yard upside, and is a dark horse, like I just said about Amon-Ra St. Brown, candidate to finish as wide receiver one overall in 2023. I think I ranked him as a spicy take, wide receiver 3. Last guy on my list to cover, Pat Freiermuth. I think Pat Freiermuth is another guy that I've covered a handful of times this offseason, but I think he is a value in drafts if you don't want to pay a premium for a tight end. I think if I was going to my drafts, I think he would be at cost one of my targets. Rookie to sophomore season, plus 19 in targets, plus 3 in receptions, plus 235 in receiving yards. He regressed from 7 to 2 touchdowns, but I've said this numerous times, that is a product of the team only having 12 receiving touchdowns on the year. For 2022, Pat Freiermuth ranked number 5 in targets with 98, number 6 in receptions with 63, number 4 in air yards, number 8 in average depth of his target, number 3 in deep targets, number 6 in receiving yards with 732, and number 9 in yards after the catch. A little bit of an efficiency plug, number 7 in yards per route run. So in a year that his touchdowns went down, he still displayed upside, making some bigger plays while also be consistently targeted. He had the exact same number of games played with 70-plus receiving yards as Mark Andrews, George Kittle, and Dallas Goedert. Only Travis Kelce at a 94.12% rate, Mark Andrews with 66.67%, and TJ Hockenson with 58.82% had a higher percentage of games played with 7-plus targets than Freiermuth did with his 53.33% in 2022. I think we should see 100-plus targets for him in 2023. This is a tight end who has stamped a significant role in this Pittsburgh offense and could be the number 2 target moving forward behind Deontay Johnson. I know a lot of people are hoping for that big George Pickens, breakout. Allen Robinson is in the system now. Maybe he can turn things around for himself there. But I think Pat Freiermuth has really established himself in this Mike Tomlin Steelers team. There's been progression in the receiving upside. I think he continues to take a positive step in the right directions. That'll do it for today's stream. Quick 15 minutes. Let's cover seven players. We're talking fantasy football so often on Fantrax. This is a brand that I think has been growing throughout this offseason, will continue to grow in the industry. Tons of articles on the website. I highly encourage you, if you are in a boring league, boring format, boring app, go shift those over to Fantrax, the app. I think that the leagues and the features of those leagues are quality and actually will enhance whatever fantasy league you play in with your buddies year to year. So thank you guys for tuning in. Make sure you are following the Fantrax page on all social media platforms as we absolutely smoke this offseason.